Well, good morning. We're so glad to have you as you join us on these Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings for the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor at Brookside. It's always my joy to introduce folks to you, and this is certainly no exception. Chris Carrillo started with us a couple of days ago to talk to us about, so you've decided to become a disciple. And Chris, you began to just kind of share with us what that meant, to follow him, to learn from him, to obey him, and that type of thing. And so just pick up where you left off last time, if you will.
Oh, thank you, Pastor. I appreciate it. Yeah, I think it's real important as Christians that we really do understand what Jesus was trying to say in Luke 14 about his expectations for a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think understanding, first of all, like we discussed last time, what disciple means. It means a learner. It means a follower. It means to be a mimic. And that's really the expectation for anyone who says that they want to be his disciple, is that they should be willing to give up maybe their comfort at home, their family, their friends, to really sit down and count the cost of being a true disciple. So my series is entitled, So You Want to Be a Disciple. So let's pick up again in Luke 14, around verse 28.
Okay.
It says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000?
Mm-hmm.
Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Reminded of a story back in World War II. There was a large group of Christians who would secretly meet in various homes to hold Bible studies and worship services. And one night, as they were all huddled in a home, hiding from the Gestapo and having a worship service, a group of German soldiers burst into the room, shouted at the Christians, "Put up your hands!" The soldier in charge said, "You Christ followers are considered an enemy of the Führer because you are conducting illegal Christian church services, and today you will all be put to death. However, if anyone here will renounce their faith, pledge allegiance to the Führer, and leave quickly, you will be spared. Anyone who remains will be shot." The soldiers watched as one by one people renounced their faith, pledged allegiance to the Führer, and walked out. After a few moments, there stood but a handful of Christians who refused to leave. Then the soldier in charge turned, shut the door, locked it, turned back to face the Christians and said, "You may put your hands down, for we too are Christians, and we have just gotten rid of those not willing to die for our Lord."
Now that's a powerful story.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And so it brings us to the topic for today, what does discipleship cost?
Mm.
In verse 28, it talks about counting the cost and planning and really thinking about what you're about to do. But he winds up in verse 33 and says, those of you who do not give up everything cannot be my disciples. That's a very strong phrase. When you think about everything that you have,
right, right.
Are you willing to give it up? Because Jesus asks you to consider that.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say you have to. You might not ever have to.
But are you
willing? Are you willing to?
Right, right.
And again, I mentioned last time, Pastor, that salvation is free, but discipleship was costly.
Mm-hmm.
I really want people to understand that salvation is a free gift.
Right.
But if we're going to commit our lives to Jesus, we might have to endure some hardships, some ridicule, some loss of finances or other things. And are we willing to do that and not turn back from our following?
Mm-hmm.
So salvation guarantees heaven, but it also calls for complete commitment to Jesus. We may be asked to give up allegiance to family and self. Faithfulness always has a cost, which true Christians should be willing to pay. In the early days of the church, the price paid was often the ultimate price.
Oh, yeah.
To choose Christ might mean choosing death by stoning. Choose Christ could mean torture by any number of excessive, cruel, and painful methods. That was the very thing Christ had in mind when he identified his followers as those willing to bear their crosses.
Mm-hmm. And that was daily.
And that was daily.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
And that's his call, to be ready to die if need be for the cause of the Lord. If someone were to ask you, are you a disciple of Jesus? Before you answer that question, the first question to answer is, are you willing to pay the cost? And Jesus tells us what that cost is. He uses a very strong term, hate. In verse 14, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, that's a very long list of people that you have to hate. But let me tell you, it's a comparative word. Right. It means that your love for God should be so much so that compared to your love of your wife, it doesn't compare.
Mm-hmm.
I use an illustration of, you know, driving to church on Sunday and, you know, fellowshipping with the Lord and singing along, going right. The speed limit in the right lane, obeying the law. And in my rearview mirror, I see some car screaming down on me. And I look at my wife and I say, honey, look at this guy coming up behind me. And I look out the window and he just screams on past. And I look over at my wife and say, well, he just passed me like I was standing still.
Mm-hmm.
But his speed compared to my speed was a great difference.
And that's looked like you were standing still.
It looked like I was standing still.
Right,
and that's
right.
What Jesus is saying. Your love for God and your love for your family has got to be that different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we need to really understand that being a disciple could cost you your family, could cost you your friends, could cost you your life. And as we read in Luke 9, around verse 57, it says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. And he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. And so Jesus had a mission from God. And he gave up everything to fulfill it. And we, too, have a mission from God. To be considered a disciple of Jesus, we need to be willing to give up everything to fulfill it.
Isn't it interesting that in those verses you have me first, me first, me first?
Right.
And that is the defining moment. Who is first in your life?
Absolutely. And that's what total commitment is. It's willing to give even when it hurts.
Right.
And so as preachers and teachers of God's word, as Christians giving the gospel, we need to be very careful not to leave an impression that the Christian life is less demanding than it really is.
Mm-hmm.
He does not want witnesses to lead the unsaved to the foot of the cross, to lead them into thinking that the Christian life costs nothing. Many people start out with good intentions, but it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Right.
So being a Christian does not simply mean saying a prayer and going about your business. As Christians, we can fall into that trap, leading people to a prayer rather than leading them to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said we must be willing to take up a cross, not take up a prayer. And many in Jesus' time were all too willing to follow Jesus to a point. Many tagged along hoping to cash in on something. Maybe it was a healing, or maybe it was in hopes of overthrowing those pesky Romans that were oppressing them at the time. But many times we see that when the going gets tough, the tough are few and far between. In John chapter 6, somewhere around verse 66, Jesus had just got done teaching, and the disciples said they were very hard sayings. And the Bible says that from that time on, many disciples followed him no more.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he turned to his disciples and he said, will you leave me too? And Peter said, Lord, are you kidding? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life.
Right.
And so even back then, there was disciples, he referred to them as disciples,
mm-hmm.
who followed him no
mm-hmm.
more. They were willing to go only so far. So what are our usual reasons for not being willing to pay the cost of discipleship? Fear, our reputation, a strong desire to be liked and not lumped in with those Christ followers, those weirdos as
the
world sees us.
To fit in with the crowd.
To fit in with the crowd, the mm-hmm. popular people.
Right.
It's not very popular to be righteous.
No.
And so these are not just excuses, but they, truthfully, they are lies. A wise man once said, an excuse is just a lie with the skin of a reason on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But even though Jesus talks about the cost of discipleship, I don't want to gloss over that it does pay.
Mm-hmm.
There is rewards
right.
to this faithfulness, this discipleship. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake. but that he will receive 100 times as much. Now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Jesus promises us blessings. Mm-hmm. We can receive them here and now in various ways. But many times the reward is not in this life. It is in the life to come.
Right.
And you think back about losing family members. I think back to my family. And when we came to Christ over 15 years ago, we ruined some relationships because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my relationships became distant with my own family.
Right, right.
But let me tell you, I have one brother. But because of my relationship with Christ, I have many brothers and many sisters. I have a whole new family, a family I never even understood or could comprehend before coming to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Bible says that you will receive 100 times, I've already received that in brothers and sisters of Christ.
Right, exactly.
So are we all called to be disciples, or are just certain people called to be disciples?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
So Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Good works, he says. You know what the definition of the Greek word used for work here means? It means work.
Well, that's hard.
Yes. I'm sorry. That's the depth of my Greek.
I sure am glad I learned some Greek today.
It means action. It means labor.
Yeah.
It means to accomplish something. And so the verse does not say we were created in Christ Jesus to sit in church once a week.
Right.
It does not say we are created in Christ Jesus to read our Bible while we're in the waiting room of eternal life until he calls us home. No, no. It says that we are created in him to go to work, to take action, to be in the employment of the Lord. So my question is, are you employed or are you unemployed?
Yeah, yeah.
In James 2:18, it says, "But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works."
Right.
There is no way to show we really believe in Christ but by being diligent in good works. Matthew 28 is the Great Commission. It says, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The word go is an imperative verb. It's a bossy word. It's a commanding, a demanding word. It's giving orders. So my take from that is Jesus is the boss of you, and he says go. So today is the day you need to count the cost and decide, are you willing to go and be his disciple?
It's like Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?"
Right.
He basically says, bottom line is, are you obeying? Are you following?
Yes.
Are you mimicking? Well, we will finish this up the next time, and so folks, please be sure to join us at that time. Meanwhile, practice what you hear. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word as well. May the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.